Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye Special Edition today as we celebrate the Chicago Bulls winning the coin flip or lottery ball between ourselves and the Kings. The Bulls now slot sixth in the pre-draft lottery order. They have a 5.3% chance at number one, 18.3% chance at landing in the top three, and they're also going to draft number 22 overall. To discuss this and offer a playoff preview, we have the great basketball historian Tim Gallagher on the line. Tim, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Fred. Got a chance to clear the palate for a few days there that the regular season ended, and getting excited about the playoffs and celebrating the news of the Bulls moving up at least another notch. And as we talked about previously, I think there's a nice collection of players are going to be available in that range. So should be very exciting in terms of who's available and what they end up doing.
Yeah, I am very, very excited about this. And, you know, we still have to wait out on the lottery. I mean, hopefully we can even move up even further. 18% chance of getting in the top three isn't too bad. You know, that said, if we could just remain at six, I think there's going to be absolutely a good player available at six. So depending on who that will be, hopefully it'll be Jaren Jackson Jr. We shall see. We'll get into that over the coming months before the draft. A lot of talk there. But right now, I want to talk NBA playoffs. Exciting time, one of my favorite times of the year as we get into the playoffs, and who better to talk preview with than Tim Gallagher. So looking forward to running through the matchups. Why don't we start out in the West? Sounds good?
Got it. I've got my bracket in front of me, and exciting to go through it, and definitely some intriguing matchups. And even with League Pass and all the games being available, there's some teams that even I admittedly, you know, haven't watched this closely, like Utah and the Pacers, and some teams I'm very interested in seeing how they do and getting a closer look at some of their young talent. So let's just start ahead with the bracket. So we've got the 1-8 with the Rockets and Timberwolves, and Tibbs managed to drag the guys over the finish line there in the last day of the season.
Yeah, or they managed to drag him over it. I still, every time I watch the Timberwolves, I'm just outraged how they use Towns. I don't think he touched the ball in the last 5 minutes. He might have touched it once or twice in the last 5 minutes of that game and in overtime. It was just like, just throw it to Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy had a good game, but he didn't play well down the stretch, I didn't think at all. You know, and he missed a number of shots. But, you know, he was able to make enough that they were able to get it done. And congrats to him and Taj, you know, and Derrick Rose and all the former Bulls that I love outside of Thibodeau. I think his coaching sucks. His offensive schemes, I'm just mortified at what they're doing to Towns. That guy, if you know, I think they'd have a chance to win this series if they just decided to pound the ball into him in the interior. There's no one on Houston. I think even Capella would have a major problem with them stopping him, but they're not going to do that. So I expect them to get blown out 4-0. What say you?
I definitely see the Rockets winning that series. I think Minnesota looked out of gas in that last game against Denver. Obviously, with the playoffs, there's a little rest in between games and so forth. But I think the pace that Houston plays and the success that Houston has had this year, Chris Paul being hungry to prove to have some success in the playoffs, and even Harden after kind of a disappointing finish last year in that final game against San Antonio. So got Houston in that series 4-1. I think the Timberwolves will manage to slip one game in there somewhere along the way. But with Minnesota, I still think they underachieved. Obviously, they did creep into the playoffs, and there were some injuries there. But I just expected more when you've got talent like Towns, and you know, of course Jimmy was hurt there down the stretch, but played pretty well and obviously got them into the playoffs for the first time in a long time. So I guess big picture, they accomplished what they wanted. The guy that's been kind of disappointing to me is Wiggins, and you know, the people that have said, boy, which Cleveland probably wishes they would have Wiggins instead of Kevin Love. I don't know. You don't hear that being said much anymore.
No, and I would also counter, too, anybody who's going to talk about the injuries of Butler. Butler still played over 2,100 minutes. Denver, with their prime free agent, Paul Millsap, played about half as many minutes. So I love how these, you know, people just throw that out there. I heard Tibbs giving that as an excuse, as if none of the other teams in the West had any major injuries. If you go, do you think the Spurs suffered at all for missing Kawhi Leonard, you know, 200-plus minutes? It's just completely asinine to just focus on, you know, Jimmy missed near the end of the season. Yeah, they won about half those games. They might have won a few more, no doubt about it. But Denver might have won a few more if Paul Millsap played, you know, 71,750 minutes. You know, I mean, it's just – it's ridiculous to throw that out there as a reasoning. But that's what you got to expect from a Tibbs excuse maker. So let's go on to the second game. I agree. I think – I just – to finish up, Houston's going to destroy them. They just don't have anything that can stop them. So outside of Towns, as I said before, but they won't do that. 2-7, intriguing matchup, Golden State versus San Antonio. Obviously a disappointment that Kawhi will not be playing for the Spurs. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, this is a different Spurs team on a lot of levels that we've seen this year. And again, you could argue what a job Popovich did, considering the hand that he was dealt, and not having Leonard except for 9 games of the season. It's I think Aldridge, we've talked about it in a recent podcast, how he really stepped up and kind of carried the load on a team that really is, other than Aldridge, a bunch of players in development or role players or players well past their prime. So the fact that they got 47 wins and are in this position, although I'm sure they're not excited about playing Golden State, and I've got the Warriors winning 4-1. Is it confirmed that Leonard I know it would be a tremendous long shot that Leonard's coming back at all for whatever reasons that no one seems to have latched onto. So that's confirmed that he's out for the playoffs, or is he still
potentially... Well, it hasn't been confirmed. It just seems logical. I mean, to me, you know.
Right.
If he wanted to play, he should have came back at least 2 weeks ago to kind of get, you know, used to playing with the team. But it is bizarre. It's kind of bizarre how he's kind of getting a pass for it, too. You know, I don't understand if, you know, why. And it does give me a little bit of pause, just a little, to consider making a massive trade package for him. Because I just don't like how this has gone down. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think even without him, they'll probably win 1 or 2 games because Golden State has played so horribly, in my opinion, over the last few weeks. They're just not, you know, Green is the most, Draymond Green is now talking smack, which is absolutely ridiculous. Most overrated player in the NBA, I'll say it. You know, he shot 30%, which sucks, from three with over 200 attempts. Guy's always wide open. They give him that shot all the time. He'll continue to get it in the playoffs. But if he doesn't start hitting that, I don't think they're beating eventually, I don't think they're beating the Rockets. I got the Rockets coming out of the West this year. And I think, you know, with all their talent, their best player is Curry, and he's not 100%. And he makes that team go. And I was really disappointed in watching them lose at home to New Orleans. And I just don't think they're playing on all cylinders. You know, that could change quickly because – they are, you know, the Golden State Warriors, but we'll see. What say you?
Well, I agree with what you said there. And we've talked about it over the last few years, really, where when the Spurs were definitely more cylinders than they're playing with right now, managed to miss playing Golden State in the playoffs. And I've talked about the slight mental edge, I think, that Pop, maybe not slight mental, maybe it's a bigger mental edge over Kerr. Even as great as Steve Kerr is, that Pop was one of his mentors, and you know, that he played for him. And I always thought that was an interesting dynamic. But I think the fact that the Spurs are so far from being full strength, and even with Golden State's flaws, I have Golden State winning this series 4-1. I agree with you about Draymond being a little overrated. I always kind of chuckle when they group him in with Curry, Durant, and Thompson, the big four. I think those three are definitely very, very elite players, but Draymond definitely a notch below them on a number of levels. And I think Golden State's roster of players they've had to, you know, unable to re-sign due to salary things and the shifts in their lineups, although I'd say Quinn Cook has been an impressive pickup for them. But I'm just not super excited about JaVale McGee, Nick Young, McCaw. That you know, I think those guys are just guys, and so against certain other teams, the depth of the Warriors is not what it has been, and I think that may trip them up on occasion.
All right, let's go on to the 3-6 matchup, Portland and New Orleans. You know, Portland obviously has been pretty healthy overall. I mean, they've had some minor injuries, but if you look at the rest of the West, they really haven't had major one of their big guys gone for extended periods of time. I know Lillard missed a few games near the end of the season. What say you about this matchup? Who do you like, and who do you think is going to move forward?
Well, Portland's been in the playoffs the last couple of years, although they ended up playing Golden State, and obviously very few teams or no teams in the West have been able to solve that that issue, obviously. So I've got Portland winning this series 4-2, and I think Portland is very quietly put together an excellent team, and I'm very, very high on Lillard, as we've talked about on past podcasts, and McCollum in the backcourt. You got Nurkic in the middle. I just like their depth and the ability to stretch defenses with 3-point shooting, and you know, they've got some nice continuity with Terry Stotts and his system over a period of years. So I just don't think New Orleans is ready to take the next step. I don't think New Orleans plays that smart. And obviously Cousins isn't playing, although they hung in there pretty well after the Cousins injury.
Very well.
Credit to Anthony Davis, and I know Drew Holiday has been mentioned in some circles as a candidate for most improved player in the league. I don't think he is that, but he's kind of under the radar, had a very nice season and really a nice career that's gone kind of unnoticed. But with home court and Portland's guards, I've got Portland winning 4-2 there.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to go with Portland, although Anthony Davis has been just so impressive the last 2 months. He's just playing at a whole nother level. I like Holiday too, but outside of those two, that team really has nothing. I mean, you know, playoff Rondo's been playing well lately. Obviously, he played great in the playoffs last year. We'll see how he does this year. You know, but playoff Nico will show up with his career 31%, 31.9% from the field, you know, 26% from the 3-point line. I hope he can do a little bit better than those embarrassing numbers, but I don't think he probably will. You expect him to disappoint like he always does. And then, you know, we'll see. You know, Davis is so good, he'll probably win at least one game by himself, but I still overall do like Portland, although they are missing Mo Harkless, who's been good for them. You know, I don't think Ed Davis is 100%, but we'll see how they do. I really like Portland overall. If they were 100% healthy, they got a few nicks, but hopefully they'll get on to the next round. I think they will. And let's go up with the final matchup, which I think is the best in the West. I'm really excited about this one. Utah. The Utah Jazz at the 4 seed versus Oklahoma City at 5. What say you?
Yes. Well, I have OKC winning the series 4-2. Utah obviously is a team on the rise. They're kind of like the new Spurs in the West, I guess you'd say, in terms of their system and interchangeable parts. And I see Mitchell as kind of like their Kawhi Leonard, and just the development of Gobert. And boy, what about Ricky Rubio? You know, this is the first time he's been in the playoffs in his career. And so, you know, I really didn't see him as a point guard on a playoff team that would, or a team that would win, you know, 48 games. And so I kind of got a renewed appreciation of Ricky Rubio in that system that Quinn Snyder's put together there in Utah. And so I think Utah is on a great trajectory. And again, losing their best player from last season, you know, Gordon Hayward, on a playoff team and getting no compensation for him. What an amazing run that they've had this year to win 48 games and be in this position. But I know the Thunder have had their ups and downs over the season. I was kind of a believer all along and figured they'd get the ship righted, and they eventually did. I thought they'd win more than 48 games, but I just think Paul George, Carmelo, have not tasted a lot of playoff success recently, and the fact that Westbrook is so explosive, they got Steven Adams in the middle. I just like Oklahoma City in this series, especially with a home court advantage.
Yeah, this one's a tougher one for me, just because I just love the Jazz defensively. I think they've been, by almost every statistic, the best defensive team in the NBA since March 1st, and it's not really close. I mean, they're just so good with Gobert playing. It's really stifling how well they play defense. And but you just got to figure Donovan Mitchell's first go around in the playoffs. He can't keep this up. That's just the way I feel. I think it's just so tough for rookies in their first run around in the playoffs. I just don't see them beating Oklahoma City with if Paul George plays anywhere near his capabilities. And he's just a lockdown defender. You feel that hopefully Melo will wake up and play at a decent level. But overall, Oklahoma City, you just kind of you look at him with all that talent, they should have been. They basically had the same record last year. You feel they would have had at least five or six more wins. And, I was kind of disappointed in that team all year. I've always felt they should have been better. We'll see how they do in the playoffs, but I think they'll get by this one. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be 4-3. And I just think the inexperience with some key players on the Jazz in the playoffs. I mean, this is Rubio's, as you said, first go around in the playoffs. I think it's going to hurt them.
Right, and Mitchell's certainly been delightful, and what a talent! And it'll be interesting to see him go against someone who I think plays a lot like him in terms of Westbrook. Westbrook's kind of the Uber version of Donovan Mitchell, so it'll be interesting to see those two guys square up against each other as well. But yeah, I've got OKC 4-2, and moving on to play Houston.
So let's go to the East now. Let's start out with the 1 versus 8. Kind of an intriguing matchup, even though Washington, I think, has looked like one of the most embarrassing teams in the league in a few games recently. I saw the Bulls, third stringers basically beat their starters outside of Wall did not play, but Beal and all the starters there in Chicago. It was one of the most embarrassing performances I've ever seen from an alleged contender. But here they are in the 8th seed in the playoffs playing Toronto. Washington has that confidence in the playoffs. I think Wall thinks he's, a lot better than he is, and probably same with Beal. Who do you see winning this series?
Well, I've got Toronto winning 4-2, and I agree, Washington's been a big disappointment. Although I've commented in the past that I think beyond Wall and Beal, the rest of their cast is pretty suspect, and I really noticed that in the playoffs last year when I thought that Boston series was there for the taking, for the Wizards, and they just didn't come through. Beal had some big games, of course, and Wall had his moments, but it kind of showed me that their supporting cast is pretty lacking. Toronto is a real intriguing team and probably one of the more underappreciated teams. Certainly one of the most underappreciated 1 seeds in a while, although maybe Boston last year you could argue was kind of in a similar situation. I think Toronto does have something to prove, and I think this is a very winnable series for them, especially with home court. The Wizards maybe I have the Wizards winning 2 games just because I could see Beal and Wall getting hot and winning a game or two, especially in Washington. But I think Toronto wins the series relatively easily.
Yeah, I think it will be Toronto, but I think it'll be a little bit more tougher than expected. I'll go 4-3. I think it'll go 7 games. Number two,
Interesting. Okay.
yeah, just because I feel that Beal and Wall, they just seem to step it up in the playoffs. They have a proven track record of playing better in the playoffs. I will hand that to them, but I agree with you though that Toronto's a better team and they should win. Let's look at the next one. Let's go
Two
to
7.
2-7, Boston, Milwaukee.
Boy, this one I had to think about for a while, and certainly my intuition and gut is to go with Boston just because of the Brad Stevens factor and the home court factor, even though it's a depleted Celtics lineup with no Kyrie, and obviously Hayward hasn't been there all season. But Milwaukee with an interim coach, right? Joe Prunty's still their interim coach, so I don't think many interim coaches have gone far in the playoffs. But the big but here, as we segue, you've got Giannis, who's the best player in the series and arguably one of the best players in the league, although still hasn't had much playoff success. But I would think he'd be
They had
motivated
none.
here. The other thing is with Milwaukee is at times where they can put out a lineup you know, I was just jotting down some names, right? Where they could have a lineup with Giannis, John Henson, Middleton, Jabari Parker, and Thon Maker all on the floor, which, you know, that's kind of almost a lineup of the future in basketball, where you've got maybe the smallest guys, 6'7", 6'8", and all long and athletic. And I just think that's an intriguing and interesting lineup. Obviously, you've got Brogdon and Dellavedova and some other guys you could sprinkle in there, other ball handlers. But I think the talent and athleticism is so intriguing with Milwaukee. But I just think Boston is smarter, tougher, home court advantage. So I've got the Celtics winning 4-2.
Yeah, I got the Celtics winning too. Even though the Celtics I'm not really high on either. I mean, they're missing, obviously, Irving is, you know, their best player. But I'm even further down on Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee has been an embarrassment several times over the past few weeks. They're playing horrible basketball. Against Philadelphia in the last game of the year, they just got absolutely embarrassed. I think they were, you know, down 30 within the first 25 minutes. Just an embarrassing team to me overall. I don't really like anyone on their team outside of even Jabari Parker. I love him as a kid. I think he's a good kid, but you know, he's not a difference maker, and he's not a guy I'd want the Bulls go after either in free agency. I understand he's got a ton of talent, but those two ACLs, just not a good situation. And you know, although he is one of the greatest Giannis, he's no doubt a super talent. He's just got to get better at shooting that outside jumper. I think that would help his game, you know, really take him to an elite level. And I still feel like in the playoffs, if I'm playing him, you got to make him shoot jumpers somehow, some way, and you'll beat that team. And I think it's going to be probably 4-1 or 4-2 at the worst.
Right, and I agree with you. Milwaukee is kind of like the Wizards. They should be better than they are, in my opinion. Certainly, the eyeball test, and then you've got a couple of – well, Milwaukee really doesn't have an elite player beyond Giannis, but, no. But certainly the Wizards have a couple, and a few other guys that are very serviceable on the Wizards. Above average, I would say, Otto Porter, and Gortat is – you know, is serviceable and maybe a notch above that. And you know, Morris, you know, they're okay, but you get beyond that with the Wizards, it drops off pretty considerably. Kelly Oubre maybe is decent, but the Bucks. It'll be interesting to see what they try to do to support Giannis, because obviously Brad Stevens is smart enough; they're not going to let one guy, you know, average 40 and take over the series and try to beat them, even with a depleted lineup. I just think the Celtics are too clever and won't beat themselves.
It's amazing, though, just out of all these teams we've talked about, I'm not scared of any of these teams. That's why I think the Bulls have such a good future coming up. Just because, like, you know, Boston, you know, who knows how these guys are going to respond from injury. You know, and Horford's not getting any younger. It's like, they have so much money invested in these older players, or Irving's not old, but he's injured. You know, I mean, who knows how he's going to return? And Toronto is, I think, maxed out. You know, this is what they are. They're going to be very good for a while, but, you know, I don't think they're any title contender. And, you know, I can't stand the team around Milwaukee. I just don't think Milwaukee's a good team outside of Giannis and, you know, I mean, they're fine. There's a couple of nice players. Middleton, stuff, but nothing great. Parker, nothing great. I really feel good about the Bulls' future every time I go through these games. Let's go to number
I agree, and we'll get to Philadelphia and Indiana in a second, but if those two franchises keep their young core together and healthy, I think the Bulls should be right in the mix with them in the next year or two. But, let's move on to the 3-6.
Yeah, well, 3-6 is Philadelphia and Miami. So,
yes.
Which one do you like in this one? This is a kind of interesting matchup for me.
I agree. I had thought long and hard about this one as well, and I've got the Heat winning in 7 games.
Wow.
And I have that really due to Spoelstra and his experience coaching in the playoffs, coaching in the finals. I know it's a different mix of players. He doesn't have LeBron and Bosch and Wade out there and Ray Allen, but he's been there and done that, and obviously Philadelphia hasn't. It's been a long time since Philly's even been in the playoffs, and first playoff series for Simmons and Embiid, and again, as good and talented as they are, I think, you know, this is another level, and I'm going to be interested to see how someone like Embiid does against Hassan Whiteside, who's a long athletic shot blocker. And I just, Spoelstra's a lot like Brad Stevens, where he's going to pay attention to every little detail, and Philly's not going to sneak anything by the Heat in terms of what they're going to try to do. So obviously Philly's a hot commodity right now with how much they've improved this year and the young players that that everybody's excited about, and rightfully so. But I've got the Heat slipping past them in seven. How about you, Brett?
Yeah, I don't like the Heat enough to pick them over the Sixers, but I will say I think the Sixers are I'm like laughing at the just general, oh, you know, there's like a general vibe from a lot of people that, you know, the process is over. This is what a team, incredible. Did anybody look at the, you know, no doubt it's impressive to win 15 in a row. But anybody look at who they played in that stretch? I'm going to run through it really quick with you. At New York, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Memphis, at Orlando, Minnesota, at home, without Butler. So that's the first playoff team they beat right there. Everything else is garbage.
Right.
Denver, they won at home. You know, Denver's on the almost playoff team, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. Knicks, at Atlanta, at Charlotte, Brooklyn, at Detroit. Cleveland at home, they won that by 2 points. There's your third impressive victory in this stretch. Dallas, Atlanta, Milwaukee at home. That's your fourth, you know, decent win. The vast majority of those games were against teams they were trying to lose. You know, I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's impressive that they still were able to win all of them, and they've won 15 in a row. But before that, you know, only in the beginning of March, they lost to Indiana. They lost at Miami. They lost at Milwaukee. And they lost at Miami and at the Wizards. So, you know, hold up a little, you know, before you start crowning the 76ers as the champs. The competition increases quite a bit here in the playoffs. And, you know, I think they'll probably get by this one. I'm going to say they'll get by Miami just because I don't really think Miami's that good. But, you know, I don't think they're going anywhere after that.
Right. I agree with all your points. And I'm glad that Philadelphia is relevant again. I like the Colangelos. I liked what Jerry Colangelo did all those years in Phoenix. You know, and Brian Colangelo did a nice job once upon a time with the Raptors. So I'm glad they've got the franchise back on its feet and winning. And but yeah, that is one of the more deceptive winning streaks in NBA history, probably. But I got Miami beating them in a seven game series.
Let's go for 4 and 5 then, and wrap this baby up. Cleveland and Indiana. Who do you like?
Well, I'm still doing a double take, seeing a 4 seed next to Cleveland's name on the bracket. It took me a while to make sure that's not a misprint or something. But obviously Cleveland doesn't care about seeding, doesn't care about home court so much. They've got LeBron, and they can rightfully think that way, I'd say, for the most part. I think this is an interesting matchup and an interesting series. And just like you talked about the Bulls putting some young talent together and should be challenging for going deep in the East here very soon. I see Indiana the same way with the emergence of Oladipo, Sabonis, Miles Turner, you know, and then TJ Leaf, who I saw play a lot in high school. He's from here in San Diego, had one great season at UCLA. You know, he can't even get on the floor, which is understandable. There's other rookies in his shoes that it's going to take a little while, even as talented as they are, to be able to compete and excel in an NBA game. But I like what Indiana's put together this year, and it really surprised me that they did as well as they did. I mean, I had them in a playoff spot, but I had them kind of sneaking into maybe 7 or 8 slots. So they've done a really nice job with what they put together. And some of the other pieces, like having a Corey Joseph, who's played on some great San Antonio teams, that gives them some leadership and toughness. I think it's important to have guys like that in the mix as well. All that said, I've got Cleveland winning 4 games to 2. I think Indiana will win. I think they can win 2 games on their home court against Cleveland. Obviously, with LeBron, anything on the positive side is possible. I don't see Cleveland stumbling here, even though I think Indiana is an intriguing matchup. And of course, you've got the X factor, Lance Stevenson, who knows what he may come up with in this series.
Yeah, I'm not really high in Indiana. I think they got one player, obviously. Oladipo's been awesome. You know, Sabonis is decent. You know, really, who's their second best player, would you say? Clearly.
I would probably say Miles Turner.
Yeah, Miles Turner, he's a nice player, but yep. He's nowhere near an all-star. You know, it's like...
Well, he's still really young. I mean, he's still just a kid, but yeah. But I think he's got some talent and, you know, certainly developing. I think that, you know, Thaddeus Young... You know, who's just a guy, but Darren Collison. So some veterans that have been around the block a little bit, but not a lot of playoff success.
Yeah, I'm just not in love with the team. I think it's a miracle they got to this point, and it's just a testament how great Oladipo's been all year. But I have no faith they're going to win more than one game in this series. I got Cleveland winning, and I don't even think Cleveland's that great either. It's just. You know, I just think that much less of Indiana. So I think this one will be quick, probably 4-1, maybe even a sweep. But I'll go 4-1 and say Oladipo pulls at least one win out of there.
Got it. Yeah, I'm a little higher on the Pacers than you, but I can hear you on that. And you know, in Cleveland, it's just hard to know, you know, when they're going to turn it up a notch and you know, and one of these teams, you know, like in Indiana, might catch Cleveland a little flat-footed in a game. I could see Indiana having one good game at home and then maybe catching Cleveland somewhat asleep in one of the games and sneaking one out, but Cleveland winning 4-2.
All right, my man. Well, unfortunately, I got to hit the ground running here. We're already over 30 minutes. I do want to ask, though, let's get your picks for who's coming out of the East and who's coming out of the West before we wrap this baby up.
Well, pretty boring. I've got Golden State and Cleveland both coming out once again four years in a row, and I'm not as high on Houston. I've actually got Houston. We can dig into this the next time, but I've got Houston getting beat by OKC in the second round.
Wow! Well, let's hold on to that really quick. Why do you think that's going to happen?
Who do you have in the finals?
No, I got the Rockets going to the finals this year. I got them beating Golden State and. In the West, I just love the way they're playing. You know, it's a little bit difficult to predict, you know, a team that shoots that many threes, but, man, that team is playing well, and Harden is playing so well. So I got them playing Cleveland, and I actually got Houston winning and all. But that's interesting that you got them actually losing in the second round. That's what I do not see.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great series and an interesting matchup. As a fan, I love what Houston's doing. I love the way they play. I love the spacing. I love the three-point shooting, you know, the fast break style. But I just think in the playoffs, when it's a little more of a grinded out type of a game, I just don't think that style is quite as effective. And I think Houston in the middle, you know, where you've got a Steven Adams, you know, kind of a big dominant physical presence in the middle. I don't think someone like Clint Capella is quite equipped for that. When the game becomes a little more of a half-court game, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Houston will be able to keep playing that style deep into the playoffs, all the way to the finals, as you said. But I don't see it happening.
No, man, it's going to be great. I'm so excited to watch it. I love the NBA playoffs, and Tim, you always bring it. You're fantastic to have on the show. We can't thank you enough for jumping on Bullseye. But let's get together soon within the next week and let's go over the Bulls a little bit more in depth. We're going to give out our season grades, get out the grades for the season, and also start looking for who they're going to draft. They're likely at number 22, which they're locked into now, and then and also, you know, hopefully six. Or hopefully higher, top three.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I think they're going to be able to get two players that can contribute right away and with the young talent that's there and hopefully they keep Lopez and you know, a veteran who I love and I think could be a good cornerstone as the Bulls take the next step toward the playoffs and success in the postseason.
All right, my man. All the best. Have a great weekend and enjoy the basketball.
Always a pleasure, Fred. You do the same.
Have a good one, Tim. Bye-bye.
Take care.